The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
We're welcoming on the Ring Central phone line, Danny Blanchflower, Professor of Economics at Dartmouth College. Thanks for joining us, Danny.
Great to talk to you guys again.
Well, Danny, we've definitely seen a bit more of a divergence, a bifurcation in the last couple of weeks when it comes to Europe, including Britain and the United States. The United States indicating tapering, Europe more going all in. Is this a good thing?
Well, you know, I don't agree with it. The US has shown tapering at all. It hasn't done that in any way, shape or form, despite the fact that people think that it has. What the Fed has said is that it's going to watch the unemployment rate with some look at the CPI, and it's going to consider tapering if that occurs. But also, it would actually do more QE if the unemployment rate was to rise. And let's just get real here. So over the last 3 months, the unemployment rate has risen. Yes, 600,000 people have actually been added to non-farm payrolls. A lot of that has come about because of people rejoining the labor force. So we may well be in the position of seeing employment rise without unemployment falling. So why people think that that implies tapering when the Fed has actually told everybody that they're going to focus on the unemployment rate? And then the MPC essentially at its meeting on Thursday said essentially the same because it actually made a statement which was really quite unheard of. It actually said that it thought the recent rise in market interest rates was actually unwarranted. So I think the market, and I said this to you guys the other day, I don't think that the Fed told anybody it was going to taper.
Danny, it made it very clear that they are opening the discussion for tapering, and they're going to look at it very seriously in September. They've also, now you might call them inconsistent.
Well,
you might say
that.
They've changed the rules. However, they have brought financial instability or signs of excess in financial markets clearly into the discussion now. And whether they taper or not, what markets are saying, it's going to happen. It's going to happen at some point. And the bond market, not surprisingly, has moved in the United States.
And Fed officials have made it absolutely clear that that's a misinterpretation of what they said. So we are going to...
A misinterpretation that they're going to consider tapering.
Well, they made clear that they have to think about it. But given that the unemployment rate is now 7.6%, and they've talked about tapering when it gets to 6.5%, I don't know what land people are thinking.
But they've mentioned 7% for tapering, Danny.
Well, the 7% for tapering, the unemployment rate has just gone up in the last.
Yeah, but they also mentioned 200,000 over a period of 6 months.
They actually, if you read the statement, said that they would look at 6.5 and 7 and look at a broader range of labor market measures. So I don't think that's in any sense what they said. And Fed officials from a whole spectrum have actually been saying much as I've been saying. They've also pointed, and people have also pointed out, that the inflation rate is lower than it's been since 1959 when the numbers were first appointed. And no one, even the hawks on the Fed, thinks there's going to be any inflation. So I don't buy that interpretation. I think this is, and the Fed and members of the Fed are not astrologers. What they've said is that tapering will come if the economy improves. And if the economy doesn't improve, they'll do more QE. They're not astrologers. So this is about what I've called with you path dependence. And the Fed has made it absolutely clear that that's their view.
Can the labor market benefit from any more QE at this point, Danny?
Well, absolutely. What we've seen is an improvement, in my view, and I have a column in The Independent today, which basically says, I think almost everything we've seen that's been boosted in the UK, in the US and the UK economy has been driven by the QE. And we will see, and not least, Eric Rosengren from the Boston Fed's made it clear that if you look, actually, the areas where there's been significant improvement are essentially places where monetary policy has helped. So housing, and cars, because the price of car loans, and you see it on the TV all the time, and my kids keep saying, Dad, it's time to lease or buy a car, interest rates are really low. And what we've seen is even the mention or thought that tapering might come sent the markets into apoplexy. So what's interesting in the converse to that in the UK, when they mentioned that potentially more forward guidance would come, perhaps more QE coming, and the reverse occurred. Bond yields fell, and the equity markets rose. So I think this is all far too premature. And I know, having been there, how these authorities think. And I think people are completely misinterpreting what they said. They have to consider what would happen when the end comes. But it is path dependent. And I think the market has completely read it wrong.
Well, the Fed, but there's certainly a discussion going on, and I guess we are a ways from September, and if the Fed was worried about excesses in the bond market, merely the discussion has helped to perhaps flush some of that out. Could we look a little bit more now? Because I think, as much as I challenge you, Danny, I think it's very important, your argument, for people to realize that this is a debate. Nothing is set in stone. Jim Buller from the St. Louis Fed has raised all these points. So we will see what happens when we get to September. But when you look at the ECB right now, when you look at the signals they are sending, what is the message? How is that going to play out?
Well, I think the message again is that both at the Fed and the MPC and the ECB have realized that exit is obviously something that they have to discuss. I mean, I have the view that I've said several times, I think it's very unlikely we're going to see rate rises at least before 2016, probably even later.
And you're discussing Europe now, right?
Well, I'm talking about Europe, certainly in the UK. That's of my view. 2016 probably looks too early. So people are there thinking about changing away from unemployment targeting in the UK to some kind of forward guidance with gateways and the kind that the Fed has had, and realizing that the unemployment rate looks extremely sticky. No one seems to be forecasting much that the unemployment rate is going to come down anywhere near 6.5%. So that the implication perhaps is that more stimulus coming. And Draghi's talked about the fact, and the ECB's thinking about the fact of forward guidance about the way that an exit strategy would come. So yes, of course, the Fed and the Bank of England would think about an exit strategy, but they will also think about what would happen if the unemployment rate was to go up or the situation gets worse, and they would think about whether they would do more QE and what form that might take. And that's the debate that would be going on. So to say that yes, there's a debate of tapering, there's also a debate of not tapering and increasing.
So, Danny, what boosts demand ultimately? I mean, do we need to depend on China?
Well, China clearly helps. And I think one of the big things that actually helps is people having confidence that the economy is going to improve somewhat and that the authorities are there and ready to step in. And that, in a way, was what the Fed was trying to do. It's about boosting business and consumer confidence and saying that the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune coming from the world markets won't be that serious. And in some sense, the shocks coming from Europe don't look as if they're getting any greater. So it really is about trying to compensate monetary policy for tightening fiscal policy around the world. No obvious expectation that the world economy is going to charge forward. We'll see what the IMF is done and how its forecast is, but it doesn't look that, you know, growth around the world is going to take off.
So let's take a look even more closely now. You've mentioned the UK, the Bank of England. Mr. Carney is now at the helm. What do you expect him to do? He's also seemed to be signaling that no matter what happens in the US with the Fed and the US government bond market, that he's determined to keep long-term market rates low in the UK.
Yes, certainly Carney's appointment is an important one from a government that says their strategy is basically to have tight fiscal policy and loose monetary policy. This obviously is pretty different to the U.S., and Carney has been appointed to essentially come in and do that. And at the same time, they have changed somewhat the remit of the bank. And in August, we're going to see two things. We're going to see an inflation report forecast, but also the bank is going to respond to the issues that the government has raised, including forward guidance. And the meeting we've just seen, Carney's first meeting, 2 or 3 days from his beginning of his appointment, he started to signal that essentially the yield curve has moved up too much. Signal? That means that there's been too much tightening going on in the UK economy. So they're going to do a number of things. They're going to say something like conditional upon what happens to the unemployment rate or nominal GDP, rates will remain really, really low. And there's a possible quite 50-50 chance that we'll actually see a move to doing more QE as a response to the fact that the unwarranted move up that they called it in the yield curve has put downward pressure on the economy, and that's where they're going to go. And in a way, that's the the move has to be placed in the context of six people previously on the MPC voted against doing more QE. So we'll see if he's one of the world's great arm twisters.
Yeah, Danny, the way that European Central Bank and the Bank of England are going, is that a vote of confidence in what the Federal Reserve has done to try and improve the US economy?
Well, I think it is. I mean, in general, what happens is I take the view that what happens in the U.S., the MPC has generally followed 6 months or so later. And what we saw was much tighter targeting in the U.K. on inflation. But I think the comparison with the U.S., which had a dual mandate, but if you compare the performance of the euro area economy, the U.K. economy, and the U.S. one, it's absolutely clear that the U.S., even though it's performed less than well as the people would like, it's performed remarkably better than the UK or the euro area. The euro area is currently in recession. The UK economy has grown, well, it's grown about 1.2% or so over the last 11 quarters. So that's pretty poor growth path. So I think what's happened is that people have seen this exit strategy driven by Charlie Evans' speech last year and Janet Yellen and so on. So the move to having gateways and thinking about an appropriate strategy to exit is really important. So yes, it's the Fed that's leading the way.
What about Portugal quickly? We've got about 20 seconds left.
Well, golly, the concern there, as you rightly say, is that there are still difficulties coming, and these austerity programs certainly don't appear to have worked. And now we have a government that looks to be very on the edge, and obviously there are concerns from Europe again, less than they were a year ago. But these countries like Portugal, Spain, Greece, Cyprus are still big worries.
Danny Blanchard, thank you so much.
And check out that op-ed in The Independent, kathleenindependent.co.uk. Osborne's assertion that high debt slows growth has been wrong from the start.
Danny Blanchard from Dartmouth, former Bank of England policy member.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.